Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
The man with a guitar behind me, and I've cued him to play, but he won't play.
His name is Dean.
Oh, you need
He was waiting to be invited.
Man with a guitar.
So basically, anything you say to the man.
That was great. Good job, Dean.
Here you go, Dean.
I walk around, man with a guitar.
We need, you know what? When we get back to St. Louis, we need this.
Yes, we do.
We need this guy to just walk up behind us and start playing, you know.
Hey, Dean, every time somebody says something funny here, which might not happen very often today, but let's hear it.
That was really funny. Let's hear it.
Wow.
It might be the only time you play today.
And then you have to, like, you know, there's got to be some dirge, like, for a sad story.
That was supposed to be funny, real nice try.
You'll be using that one a lot, Dean.
Stay close, Dean.
Dean, you get paid to do this?
This is my job, yeah.
Walt Disney World employs you, or the Animal Kingdom.
My day job is working at the Animal Kingdom, and they tell me about people. I walk around. Like the folks who were in line for the show that I work is called the Festival of the Lion King. Uh-huh. And they tell me about folks. And I understand you guys are JC and the U-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a moment? Can I write a song about JC and the U-Man?
Well,
right
we have
here?
Names too. Yeah. Laurie Mack and Jennifer Sparks.
But that's too complicated.
She's not going to remember. Yeah.
It's JC and the U-Man, Sparky and Mack.
Sparky and Mack.
Oh, he didn't even need time.
We're ready. We're on. You man and JC, it's a fact. The ladies tell me they would not be nothing without Sparky and Mac. Now Sparky, she's the sweetheart, the baby, it's true. And Mac, when we need to know something, the boys come to you. It's gonna be a lot of fun at the Animal Kingdom. Think about all the wild animals you can see. Now Sparky and Mac, they were entertained, that's a fact. What are them wild animals out there? Why, that's you man and JC.
Great, good job.
Now that's an open.
Wow.
John, this is the best newscast you've ever done.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, July 18th, 2022, 117 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have noted. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. As I am speaking right now, two 12-year-olds are sleeping on the couch next to me here at my mother-in-law's place in Maryland Heights. That's where we are for our second week. And now I'm just fell up onto the floor. I don't think they're very happy about the fact that I'm up here doing the show while they're trying to sleep. And again, let me repeat this. You got the entire basement to yourself. You got the bed down there. You guys can go sleep down there, and you won't have to listen to me for the next half hour. All right, kids. Well, one of the reasons I played that particular intro is because I spent about 2 hours with the U-Man yesterday afternoon. Come walking in. We hadn't seen each other in about a year. And, shake hands and hug and the whole thing. And then we start talking and we start exchanging stories. And I will say that although John had some really, really great stories and we laughed so hard, my abdomen still hurts this morning from all the laughing we did yesterday. And by the way, this seems to be very important to a lot of people that John and I are still friends and are still in contact. Whenever I tell anybody about it, especially women, they're like, oh, I love that you guys are still friends. It's like, yeah, that ain't going to change. But so I come walking in, and somehow the discussion turns immediately to Mike Shannon. And apparently his radio station, this is a couple of years ago, his radio station was doing some sort of special deal, and John coerced Mike Shannon into coming down and doing the radio show with him for an hour. So it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and here comes, "How you doing, big boy?" "Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming here. Sit right down here." And Shannon sits down. I guess they're in some sort of remote location. They're doing the show in front of a small group of people or something somewhere. I forget what the details were. It's not that important. So Shannon sits down, and the first thing he says to him is, "Hey, John, you're going to finish this hot dog right here." And John's thinking to himself, it's a half-eaten hot dog sitting on a little paper plate. Why is Mike Shannon interested in eating the other half of a half-eaten hot dog? We can get you your own meal, Mike. You know, "Hey, big boy, you gonna finish your hot dog here?" And John just said, no, you can have it. And he's walking away from the table thinking to himself, like, what the hell? And he looks over. And Shannon takes the hot dog out of the bun and then reaches down and uses the bun to steady the table, which had been a little rickety. Is the hot dog bun, using food to keep the table from rocking back and forth. Oh, man, we laughed, and then we laughed, and then we laughed, and then we laughed some more. Man, oh, man. As you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, to the podcast, or any of the shows I've ever done before, not only am I not a conspiracy type guy, I ridicule people who are. And whether it's just, you know, the Art Bell stuff in the middle of the night when he used to do that all-night show and just talk about all that alleged paranormal stuff, which is all crap. Or right over to the political side with QAnon, or, you know, people saying Hillary kills people and stuff like that. I just have complete, open, and unabridged hostility for people like that. That having been said, given the timing of the situation, and by the way, if this were the other way around and this were Hillary or somebody like that who died over the weekend, well, we lost Ivana Trump, the first wife of Donald Trump. Okay. So Ivana Trump, it turns out, died from some sort of blunt force trauma to her abdomen. According to the report, they found her at the bottom of the stairs and she had fallen down the stairs, and that's what killed her. Assuming that this story is correct, and I'm about to tell you, you tell me what we're supposed to think, okay? At the bottom of the stairs where they find the body of Ivana Trump, they find that she had spilled her coffee, and there was spilled coffee all over the floor at the bottom of the stairs. Now, if you just think about that for 15 seconds, you'll come to the conclusion that I came to, which was, huh? If you're holding a cup of coffee and you fall down the stairs, you wouldn't find the cup of coffee spilled at the bottom of the stairs. You'd find it about halfway down the stairs. You see what I'm saying? You're holding a cup of coffee, you slip, whoa! That coffee is going to spill right there. You're not going to be able to steady the cup of coffee all the way down as you're falling down the stairs and in fact, die and then drop your coffee at the bottom of the stairs. That's not how it works. I'm just saying. Home Run Derby is tonight, arguably the most boring sports spectacle in all of men's competition, although Albert will be out there tonight, so maybe more people than usual will be interested in that. Well, you can count me out. This is the problem with Major League Baseball right now. Everything has become about home runs and strikeouts. You got to get the ball in play more. If you can get the ball in play more, and probably by widening the strike zone, that would be a good start. That's how you fix the problems, at least many of the problems with Major League Baseball. Friday night at Busch Stadium. So I go over there and I figure I just want to be a fan tonight. You know, I hate the press box anyhow. You can't open your mouth. Everybody's whispering up there. You know, somebody makes the catch of the year, and you're supposed to just go, You can't talk, you know, because heaven forbid you would have a normal human exclamation to an event like that, and it would upset the thinking of a sports journalist. I have never understood that. Anyhow, it's a Friday night. It's like a half an hour before game time. It's a beautiful night, so they have a huge walk-up, and they had one ticket booth open. One! And the line must have been, it had to be, 100, 150 people. They finally opened another ticket booth, but how did they not see that coming? I'm standing in line there. I'm just sort of watching what's going on, you know, and they're pumping the audio from the pregame festivities on field into the speakers that, you know, you can hear all around the stadium outside the place. And they got somebody singing God Bless America, and the woman behind me starts singing along, and she's not singing the correct words. Like, the hell is going on here? And it reminded me of an event, and again, we were talking about Mike Shannon. Mike Shannon, for some reason, was hosting part of the pregame festivities on opening day. This was probably about 12, 13 years ago. Some of you will remember this.
I even like that theme song from Quantum Leap. That was a good song there. So anyhow, Scott Bakula, you see him. If you see him running around town today, you know, that looks like Scott Bakula. It's him. He's back in town. And why they missed out an opportunity to have a guy who is from St. Louis and who
incredibly
knows,
talented.
And who knows how to sing, and instead you get
God
this,
bless.
You get this biatch yesterday out there at Bush
A native Stadium. Of Wausau, Wisconsin, this crossover country artist recently moved to St. Louis to continue her performing and recording career.
See, right there, it doesn't even make sense. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin. She's moving to St. Louis.
Wisconsin, and she's a country singer.
Yeah, the hub of the music industry. Music City, St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense from
the
beginning.
Well, maybe she's saving up money. She'll stay here a year, and then she'll move to Kentucky.
She's
and
eventually moving south.
Eventually,
right.
She'll get to Nashville.
Right. Mike Shannon goes, please welcome this woman. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin, and she only had enough bus fare to get to St. Louis on her way to Nashville. Please welcome.
She's going
to
sing God Bless America for us today. Please welcome Carrie Beth Foster.
Never heard of her. Nope. People are looking around at each other going, huh? Who?
Are you supposed to sing? Yeah. Is that you?
Who's that? Second line, she's in trouble. Second line.
God bless America.
Okay, let me ingest a six pack and crack cocaine. I go to bed. Mm-hmm. I'm laying in bed. You awaken me at 3:30 in the morning.
Don't allow you to urinate.
Stick a microphone in my face and say, "Sing God Bless America,"
or at least say the second line.
Land that I love.
Land of the free.
Sorry.
Next.
Not even close.
Stand beside her.
That's right.
And guide her.
Good job. 3 out of 4.
Through the night with the light from above.
Free and above now rhyme.
From the mountain to the prairie.
Oh, she's doing great. She'll be fine.
Somebody whose niece or cousin or aunt is this down at the ballpark?
Well, that's all right sometimes.
To the ocean.
Now, when you think of an ocean, you think of seaweed, but that's not really a romantic sort of thought that you would put in a song.
Jellyfish.
You
they hurt.
You wouldn't use that in a song.
Shark attack.
But you would think of the waves hitting the coast,
beautiful,
hitting the rocks, and producing that sort of foamy look.
Uh-huh.
The ocean's white with foam. That's the song. The ocean's white with foam.
Wild and free.
At first she sounds like she's saying la, la, la. Wild, when she starts wild, sounds like la, la, I don't know the next.
The
maybe she sings better on an E sound than an O sound.
The oceans,
so she just changed it.
Wild and free. Well, you know what? She doesn't sound good singing anything. Okay? I'm not a singer. I
think
sing
what
better
would
than
have
this.
Happened if she'd sung foam.
Sounds like one of the people that would kick off of American Idol, you know, and before they actually get
kick
to the...
Kick off? They wouldn't even put them on the show in the first place.
You know, like the first couple of episodes of each American Idol where they're not even in the theater yet. They're just like in a hotel room and people are singing in the lobby. And Simon goes, you suck. You absolutely blow. You know? So.
My home sweet home.
It's not easy to sing down there a cappella, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like her voice is going to go out. She's been singing for a minute and 20 seconds.
Laurie can't even listen in her headphones.
Laurie is taking her headphones off.
Hurting her.
Here we go. Here's the big finish.
My home, sweet home.
Everybody's kind of like, okay.
Talk about shocking awe.
That was great.
The second line, God bless America. What did she even say? Land of the free?
Land of the free, I think.
Land of the free. I tell you what, I mean, you laugh, but I'd rather have this. No?
Oh, no.
I'd rather have this. Bring Mike Ditka, the former coach of the Chicago Bears, out to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Love
anyway.
It.
A one.
Yeah.
And a two.
Woo.
And a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Party's happy. That's a grand girl, Jackson. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole team. They don't win it because, hey, what?
Every word. Thank you, Lori.
And
every
he word, didn't waste time.
Every word correct, you know.
Even in, up, fixed, out.
The best part of that is the organ is trying to keep up with it, man. It's hilarious.
It reminds me of that scene from Reefer Madness where the guy's playing the piano, you know. Even you know, Dennis Franz, you know, on Mother's Day would be better.
Brunch for Harry and for all you mothers out there, it's Mother's Day. And a one, and
mothers.
A two, and
mothers out there.
I'm telling you, that's one of the great traditions that have developed there at Wrigley Field. Having other people sing that every day is just fabulous.
Yeah. Or as Laurie said, at least get close to it. You know?
Yeah.
At least get close to it.
Oh, and by the way, when you hear something like that, it does remind you that our show was so awful and so non-entertaining that they canceled it 13 years ago. Dummies that they are. So anyhow, God Bless America, she's singing the wrong lyrics. Then, of course, you have the national anthem. And about halfway through the song, the boyfriend of this girl behind me, who was singing the wrong words to God Bless America, the boyfriend says, "Is that the national anthem? The hell else would it be?" Then you have that military flyover, and it scared the bejesus out of everybody because we didn't know it was coming. And it had like an F-15 or something come within 15 feet of the scoreboard and then fly straight up in the air, and it made a loud noise. And you know me, I've talked about this for years. I don't understand what the connection is between the national anthem and then showing military power. That sounds like something Putin would do. I think the United States of America has made it abundantly clear over about the last 70 years or so that if you piss us off, we will bomb the you-know-what out of you. So I don't know why attempting to reinforce that idea is a good idea. I don't understand that. America the Beautiful should be the national anthem. America the Beautiful says everything we want people to think about us and everything that we should aspire to. Everything in, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, amber waves of grain. No. Give us the one with the bombs exploding. That's the one we want. And by the way, I was doing all this because I was going to spend all of my pregame activity time over at Ballpark Village because I hadn't been there in a while. So I go over there. Ballpark Village is bought out. It was completely empty. So this, you know, area, you've been there a million times, that would have normally been a great hangout place before the game. It was hot. It was very humid. And I'm thinking, I'll just go out there and hang out for a while. You go out there, no, it's closed. It's been bought out. Oh, and the other thing is, when they play the national anthem before the game, all the stadium workers have to stop working. And that includes, like, the ticket vendors, all of the food and beverage vendors, the ushers, all the stadium workers. Everybody has to stop during the playing of the national anthem. And even some of the ones on the perimeter of the ballpark, you know, people working for Busch Stadium but working the outside of the ballpark, they stopped. And I'm thinking to myself, how far away from the stadium do you have to be before you can just keep walking? Even though you can hear the national anthem being played, can you keep walking? Or what if you're across the street? And I'm also going to tell you, that approach to downtown on 70 is absolutely disgusting. It's just awful. It's a little better, you know, coming in on Highway 40. But if you're coming in from 70 for some reason, like, let's just say you're in from out of town, and on a Friday or a Saturday night at Busch Stadium in the middle of the summer, there's a good chance that 40-50% of the audience, of the crowd that night, is from out of town. So they're staying somewhere. And a lot of people just say it's easy to stay at the airport, and we do that. So you're coming in on 70, and if I'm visiting from out of town and I see that, I'm thinking to myself, we are never coming back here again. We're going to get shot in the head. And it's like the good old days. You know, come walking into the ballpark and you can hear the organ music playing. Now it sounds like you're walking into an AC/DC concert. I mean, they're just pounding this music. Although I do think that playing Led Zeppelin is a good stager for a game. I wish they would just reserve that for the playoffs, though, because that is pretty cool as you're waiting for the beginning of a playoff or a World Series game. Dun-dun-dun, 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 dun-dun-dun. That actually is pretty cool, but not a Saturday night or a Friday night in the middle of the summer. And, you know, I'm sitting in the green seats, rich people, most of them pretty fat. You know, I'm just reporting what I see. This isn't my opinion. This is fact. People so fat with their big fat diabetes legs jamming platters of nachos into their faces as fast as they can digest them. Some of these people, you know, it's time to get up and just let somebody in who's got a seat in the middle of the row as opposed to on the end. And just try to, people can't even get up out of their seats. See them trying to walk up the stairs to go to the bathroom. Can't even walk. And I want to say something else, too, about the green seats. You see the players coming off the field at the end of the half inning, and you have all these kids jumping up and down, you know, wanting the ball. Okay, you're gonna throw me the ball, throw me the ball. And the players throw the ball into the hands of one of these kids who's sitting there in the good seats behind the dugouts. They're already rich. They already have the best seats in the house. They're practically sitting on the field. And now they're going to get a souvenir ball thrown to them by a Major League Baseball player? Why don't you use that gun that they use to shoot hot dogs and T-shirts into the upper deck? Have them shoot the ball into the upper deck. The rich kids in the green seats have already got everything on time. Now they're going to get a ball, too? Come on. Use your heads down there. And then it has come to this. I arrived in this city in 1984, 38 years ago. And I quickly became the scourge of the community. Vilified. Vilified. People told to watch out for that J.C. Corcoran. Watch out for that guy. So I'm standing in the men's room, and there's a little boy about 8 years old standing right in front of me. And he's looking a little nervous. He was eight, but he was also a small 8 years old. And I happened to catch out of the corner of my eye a young woman who appeared to be maybe late 20s, early 30s, somewhere right in there. Very, very pretty MILF, if you will. And she's got her cardinal hat pulled way down over her face. She appeared to be very, very pretty. And I noticed that, oh, I get it here. That's your little boy. So I motioned to her. She's standing about 30 feet away. And I motion to her, hey, I got my eye on your son here. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. She gives me this, oh, that's so sweet, you know, that sort of look. And so I just tap him on the shoulder. I go, hey, what's your name? He tells me his name. I go, okay, that's your mom over there? Yeah, okay. Well, I'm watching out for you here. So if you get in there, you need anything, you talk to me, okay? So we go in. It's finally our turn. All of the urinals are busy. And then one at the very end opens up. And I just tap him on the shoulder and go, there you go, right over there. So he walks over, but he doesn't see the one that's empty. He thinks I'm pointing to one of the stalls. He goes walking over the stalls. Stalls are all busy. He stands there like, well, what did you send me here for? I'm like, no, 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 right there. See? He goes, oh, okay, go. He goes, he takes a leak. I do mine. He walks out. Afterwards, I'm still washing my hands. So I probably take about, you know, 30, 45 seconds longer than he did to come out of the place. I come walking out of the men's room. And there's the little boy and the mom still standing there waiting for me. And she taps him and she goes, go. And he comes over and goes, thank you very much for helping me out. And the mom is just standing there looking like, that was so nice. And I'm thinking to myself, that was so nice. That little kid is being brought up right by mom. That's the way it used to work. That's the way it used to work when I was a kid. You would, you ask an adult, ask a grown-up. Now, I think kids are being sort of brought up to believe that you should never trust anybody about anything. So I guess the word is refreshing to see that there's still some nice people in the world, and maybe she's thinking the same thing today. 1997 on this date, The Who were in town, and I got a chance to interview Roger Daltrey in the penthouse suite of the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton. And it was a great, great interview, great, great moment. You heard part of that, the anniversary show earlier this year, so I'm not going to run it again. And also on this date in 2014, while Houston, Texas is one of those communities that's, something like 1,000 people a week are moving into the state of Texas. 1,000 a week. And that's been going on for like 15 years. And I think they're up to almost like 30 million people in that state by now. Think about that, 30 million people in one state. And now this morning I read, the Houston metropolitan area is 9,444 square miles, which is bigger than the entire state of New Jersey. I'm going to read that again. Just the Houston metropolitan area, just Houston alone, is bigger than the entire state of New Jersey. And it felt like it too, because it was on this date in 2014 that we left to move back to the Gateway City. I think Ben Affleck, it's safe to say, had a pretty good weekend as he married Jennifer Lopez in Vegas over the weekend. It says here they stood in line for a license, then rushed to a chapel, which they got to just before it closed. Unfortunately, Elvis unavailable to do the honors for them. Google Maps has been sending Beatles fans to the wrong Abbey Road intersection. Apparently, the best way to get to the real one is to type in the Beatles crosswalk and not Abbey Road. But I'll tell you this, if you try to have your picture taken as we did when we were broadcasting from there in 1989, you try to get four people to walk across the street and have somebody take the picture, good luck, because the locals will try to run you over. They're way, way over this. They're way past it. They don't care that you traveled thousands of miles to come over there to see Abbey Road. They'll run you right over, so be careful. Craig Robinson from The Office was supposed to perform at a club in Charlotte Saturday night, but a guy showed up with a gun and started shooting. Everybody was evacuated. The show was canceled. Nobody was hurt. Then we had another mass shooting last night. Where? Indianapolis? Yeah, near Indianapolis. Four people killed, including the gunman. It was nice to see people recognize the anniversary of the passing of Harry Chapin over the weekend. You know, people like to say, I'm a rocker. I'm a hard rocker. And maybe they don't go around advertising the fact that they really enjoyed the music of Harry Chapin. But when something like this happens and people go, oh, really, this is the anniversary of his passing. Oh, I loved Harry Chapin. And almost every, on Facebook, people sharing stories about, you know, when they saw him was, I guess he played Merrimack. It was like a gymnasium. They said the whole place smelled like gym socks, but it was still a great show. And Harry was one of the first guys to sort of get the idea that, hey, maybe people want to meet me after the show. So he just hang around in the lobby. And then he was also one of the first people, possibly the first, to link the whole idea of rock and roll, folk, pop, whatever you want to call him, his performance, and gathering up food for area food banks. A lot of times they would do a thing where if you brought so many cans of food along, you'd get a little meet and greet with Harry after the show. So it was a very good idea. He was a cool guy. Not cool guys, the people at Fox Sports, apologizing over the weekend for their poor judgment, that's their words, during Saturday night's Yankees-Red Sox game. Going into the commercial break, they superimposed the team's logos over the 9/11 memorial in New York. you know, you're supposed to have meetings before the nationally televised games where you discuss stuff like that. And somebody brought it up, and either people weren't paying attention or just weren't using their brains that night. Late Night Tonight, thank God, after 2 weeks off, everybody but James Corden back tonight. Jimmy Fallon's got Jane Fonda. Jimmy Kimmel's got Quentin Tarantino. Dana Carvey is hosting that show. That's going to be worth my time. Billy Crystal with Stephen Colbert. Seth Meyers has Billy Bob Thornton and Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser's new comedy special is called Good Clean Filth. She's really on top of her game right now. Really on top of her game. Birthdays today, Priyanka Chopra from Quantico, and also happens to be Mrs. Nick Jonas, is 40 today. Good-looking woman. Kristen Bell, whose father I worked for at Channel 4, Tom Bell, was our assistant news director at Channel 4 back in the 90s. And she was just a little kid back then. She's 42 today. Tom, a good guy, by the way. Vin Diesel, 55. Richard Branson, 72. Steve Forbes, 75. He ran for president there for a while. Martha Reeves, as in the Vandellas, 81 today. Joe Torre spent a little time managing the Cardinals here, 82. Played here, too. James Brolin, 82. Dion, as in Run Around Sue and The Wanderer, 83. First Aliens movie came out on this date, 1986. Sigourney Weaver. State of Missouri, again, getting on the map. Not necessarily for the right reasons. Guy in Springfield named Kent Slaughter suing Bass Pro Shops for not honoring a lifetime warranty on some socks he bought. He filed a lawsuit this month. He says the company used to replace the socks when they got worn out, but they stopped last year. Starting in 2014, he bought around 12 pairs of wool socks called Red Head All-Purpose Socks. Bass Pro Shops owns the Red Head brand, and he says the lifetime guarantee was a major reason why he bought the socks. Well, he must have worn them a lot, because by 2015, he'd worn through his first pair. And when he brought them in, at that point, they did replace them. They continued to honor the guarantee after that, too, until last year, when he tried to return four more pairs that got rejected. They still gave him new socks, but they are a slightly different version, and they told him the new ones only came with a 60-day warranty. Well, he ended up finding the old ones online last month, and it still said lifetime guarantee on their website, so he bought another pair. But when they came in the mail, the packaging had been changed, so it didn't mention the guarantee anywhere. It also apparently didn't include a line about how they'd be the last socks you'll ever need to buy. That's a quote. So that was enough for him to sue Bass Pro Shops and accuse them of false advertising. Now it looks like it'd be a class action thing where anybody, whoever bought the socks, might be able to cash in. So stay tuned. And again, the state of Missouri getting on the news, the national news, for, again, all the wrong reasons. You know, you think to yourself, we've heard those stories about, what was it, the U.S. Air people? Which airline were the pilots getting drunk? I forget which one it was. Anyhow, now we got a story about a 35-year-old student pilot who ran out of fuel on Friday while flying without an instructor, and he had to land a single-engine plane on the interstate near Kansas City. And it turned out he was drunk when it happened. Some student pilots can fly by themselves as long as their instructor okays it, but it's not clear if he did that. And obviously, flying while intoxicated is not cool. Plus, it was 2:30 in the morning. The highway was empty, so he managed to land the plane without hitting any cars. He crashed into the guardrail, only suffered minor injuries. Then a truck driver used her rig to block the road so nobody else would crash into him. So she says when he got out of the plane, he smelled like alcohol, was slurring his words. He hugged her and said he was glad he didn't hurt anybody. Well, it turns out he had flown from Kansas City to Florida the day before and was on his way back when he ran out of gas about 25 miles from the airport. Cops also found a small amount of weed. So he may have been drunk and high. And get this, he hits the trifecta. They also found a gun. He's facing a bunch of felony charges, including possession of a controlled substance, felony possession of a firearm, and operating a vehicle, which in this case was a freaking airplane, while intoxicated. Welcome to Missouri. And finally, we hear that COVID is starting to spring up again. They're talking about certain cities having mask mandates again. On top of that, we got monkeypox going around. And now it turns out that the insect kingdom is also suffering. There's a fungus that turns male houseflies into zombies and makes them mate with dead females who are also infected with the fungus. Man, you thought Marilyn Manson's sex life was messed up. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, July 18th, 2022, 117 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning right after 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. It's brought to you by Weber Chevrolet. We thank Skip and the boys and girls over there at Weber Chevrolet. You may email me, jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the showgram. With J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.